My name is Anna. I'm part of the Churches of Christ team. I started there in 2020, so I think I arrived in the office in February, and by March we were all in lockdown. So it's been an interesting introduction. Before that, we passed to the church in the Dergill, so we live in Berwick, and I'll tell you what, it's much nicer coming over this way on a Sunday morning than it is during the week, when it takes a lot longer. So, but it's so good to be here, and I love coming to visit our churches, because I like to be able to picture where our churches are, and I like to see the building, and then I can picture where the people are. So thank you very much for inviting me, Paul. It's great to be able to be here. So Paul, we've had a bit to do because I'm part of the Generations team with CCBT, so supporting kids, families, youth, young adults, ministries, and also internship. So I guess those are the things that I'm focusing on. So I've had a bit to do with Paul in that space, but so good to be here today. A little bit about me, so you feel like you know. So as well as working at CCBT, I've got four kids. They're growing up though. So our eldest is 22 and got married last year and moved to Queensland. So then we've got one at uni, two in high school, and they're basketball mad. So I do get to drive out this way a few times each season to play games at Keilor and Sunbury and surrounding areas. But really good to be here today. You know, this week I was thinking about last words. So have you ever, when you're finishing up a job and you're trying to, you know, hand everything over to them,
what do you say? What are the important things that you're trying to say? And then I was thinking about, okay, so what did Jesus do? When Jesus, see, his last time wasn't just handing over a job. He knew that his time was coming to an end. And so what were some of the messages that he really wanted his followers to know, that he really wanted to tell them? And, you know, one of them was Matthew 28:19-20, and it was the Great Commission. It was, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. Nice to know that he's always with us, hey? But that was kind of one of his messages. In John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. Those were some of his last messages. And so you think, well, if those were some of his last messages, then it was obviously important. He obviously wanted them to pay attention to that. And his followers did pay attention to that, because they did go. And many of them lost their life by going. So it was obviously important to that. And yet, I think sometimes we've lost the urgency of that. I came across in my inbox from a Barna group who do research, and there was a really interesting study that they did recently. And in that study, they found that 85% of pastors believe that mission is important. Then they interviewed practicing Christians, so people who come to church regularly on Sunday, very involved, and that number fell to 45%. And then when they talked to people who said they were a Christian, that number fell to 25%. That's a huge difference between pastors thinking, yep, 85%. The mission is important. Go, tell, teach. And yet it was halved, halved for people who are practicing Christian. And oh, what's that? 25% of 85%. I can't even do the math. It's tripled, but the other way. I don't know. That's too hard. But, yeah. And so they'd lost that sense of urgency, and I wonder why. When I think about, I wonder why, when obviously this was so important, that this was the message that was given, that for us we've lost maybe that sense of urgency around it. And I wonder if it's, maybe we don't feel like we're living lives that speak of Jesus, and so we're not confident to have that conversation because people might think we're hypocrites. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's we're worried that we won't know the words to say or how to bring that conversation up. Maybe we're a little bit embarrassed because Christians aren't always perceived that positively in our community. Maybe it's that pervasive sense of you do you and I'll do me. Live, let live. I don't know exactly why. And maybe all of those factors play into it. But I think we have lost that sense of urgency. You know, especially for under 40s, but I think for lots of people, evangelism has almost become a dirty word. It's like people, no, don't say that, don't go there. And yet Shayla Visser defines it as this. She says, you are simply joining a conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with someone. Now, I can do that. If God's already working, you're simply joining that conversation. That doesn't sound too hard, does it? I want to have a look, an example in the Bible where Jesus did exactly that. And it's in Luke chapter 19, and it's verses 1 to 10. And you may be familiar with this story. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You know, I feel like there's some really key things in this passage and things that we can do. So there's five keys that we're going to look at out of this passage today. And the first one is be attentive. In verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Do you know the significance of that? Do you know where Jesus was going when he was passing through? He was going to Jerusalem, and that was when he was going and he was going to die. I reckon Jesus already knew that. In fact, we know he did in the way that he talked to his disciples. He knew what was ahead of him, yet he stops in a town and he still notices the one. You know, for all of us, I think sometimes we can get so caught up in our own lives and what's going on in our own lives that we stop noticing what's going on around us. And yet Jesus didn't do that. And I think that he wants us to notice what's going on around us. We can miss what Jesus is doing because we're so focused on our own stuff. And you know, I think sometimes we separate our lives so much. It's like, this is my church life, this is my work life, this is my family life, this is, I don't know, my sports life, whatever it is. But we separate things out, but that's not how Jesus wants us to do it. He wants our faith to be integrated into every aspect of our life. I'll give you an example. This is when I was nursing. So I used to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. A while ago now. I haven't gone back to it once I've had kids. But when I was doing it, one of my friends, she was really down and she just wasn't herself. She wasn't a Christian, but she just wasn't herself. And I kept thinking, oh, Lord, what's going on? And, you know, she's not talking, she's not telling us. Normally she'd tell us what was going on. And so I could have gone, this is my work life. Church life doesn't, you know, even impact on this. But as I was praying for her, I really felt God showed me something about what was going on in her life. And I felt like, and it was like a bit of a shock at the time, a bit of a surprise because it wasn't what I expected. I felt like God was saying she was struggling with a same-sex relationship. And I was like, what do I do with that? And so I started just praying. And I talked to another friend who was older, and we started praying together. Well, that girl in the end came and talked to the other person that I'd been praying with and just said, I was in a really vulnerable space. All of this stuff had happened, and I felt like I was taken advantage of. This is what happened. And they were able to open it up, and they were able to talk it through, and she was able to come to a place of healing in that and to make different decisions. You know, it's just being attentive to what's going on around us and not getting caught up in our own stuff, but seeing what God wants to do in the lives of others. So being attentive. Now it says in verses 2-4, it says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He's a chief tax collector. Chief tax collector immediately tells us he's not very liked. He's working for the Romans. So he's almost like it's a betrayal of his own people. And he's wealthy. So not only is he like a betrayal of his own people, he's pocketing some of the money for himself and making sure he's very comfortable and very well off. So he's not liked. Now, I also wonder, like, so he'll be fairly despised by the people and he won't be liked. Yet in verse 5, it says that when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. Be personal. If someone knows your name, then it shows that they care enough to remember you, that they value you. So Jesus, by calling him by name, he's being personal. How does it feel when someone doesn't remember your name? Well, you'll feel, you know, just takes it down a little bit of a notch. It's like, oh, okay, I'm not even remembered. Or when they get your name wrong, now most of the time we'll be okay with it, but it feels good when they know your name and they get it right. If you don't believe me, there's a song by football club, Greater Western Sydney, Steve Canelio. So, all right, it's hard to say his name because if you see the spelling of his name, it doesn't actually look like that's how you would say it. So the football club wrote a song and sent it out through all the media to the fans, to the journos, and in fact, it names and shames the journos in the song and says, you talk about me, but you don't even know my name. You can't say it. So now I won't inflict the song on you because, you know, my husband said, you're not going to torture them with that song, are you? I said, no, they can Google it if they like. Steve Canelio's song. But it shows you how important a name is to a person. You know, when you come across people, do you get to know their name? Like when someone serves you coffee at a cafe, or when you're regularly at the shops and you see the same person, do you get to know their name? Because when you get to know their name, you're communicating to them that I'm interested, I value you, I appreciate you, I notice you. That's something we can all do. It's just pause and get to know people's names instead of just taking it for granted and walking on and, yep, thanks, bye. So, but no, we can stop and we can get to know people. And you know, by doing that, we're actually honouring people and we were actually valuing people. So be personal. Be approachable. Jesus talked to Zacchaeus. It says that you're worth liking. It's not just I know your name. It says that I'm taking the time to get to know you. I'm actually talking to you. You know, we live in such an isolated and disconnected world. You know, it's kind of crazy that the more we can connect with each other, whether it's through social media, phone or whatever, the more we feel disconnected and the more isolated we feel. All the stats show that people feel lonelier than ever. Yet we are able to be in contact with people so much more easily, and yet we're feeling so much more lonely. How can we communicate to people that we want to talk to them, that we want to know them, that we want to know what's going on in their lives? You know, because I'm often at basketball stadiums, I could just drop them off, go home and get a few things done. I could sit on my phone and just, I don't know, play games or something. I could you know, go to the shops or whatever, but I choose to go and spend time with their other mums and get talk with them and get to know what's going on in the world, to go for a walk with them. Because when you do that, you get to the much deeper conversations. You get, it's not just the, hi, how are you, how's the week, or whatever. You, by sitting and talking, you find out what's going on in the world. Have those opportunities, take notice of those opportunities. It's easy for us to become distracted, whether it's by a phone or just having to get things done. But taking time to have those conversations, to be approachable. Not only that, be present. Jesus visited Zacchaeus. He went to his home. He went for lunch. Now, he invited himself, really, to his place for lunch. I'm not suggesting you go out into the street and invite yourself to everybody's place for lunch. But hospitality is so important. It talks about hospitality often in the Bible. Romans 12, 13, practice hospitality. And that's repeated often. You know, when we can never truly care for someone, we can never really love someone, we can never really nudge them to something better if you don't know their context, if you don't know their world, if you don't know what's going on in that world, then you can't really know them. So be present. You know, Phil, our team leader at CCVT, during COVID, during the lockdowns, he did Zoom dinners with his neighbours. So they weren't, you know, at that time we weren't really, well, we couldn't go anywhere. But he connected with his neighbours, and they were from all different countries, all different religions, but about three or four of them would get their own food, talk about their food and everything. They were talking until midnight. And they'd start at like 7 or 8. What an opportunity to actually get to know people, to hear their stories, to hear what's going on. You know, sometimes we go too much in with what we need to tell people rather than getting to know them, getting to understand them. That's something that we can do. In our street, we had a barbecue. Get to know all the neighbours and invited them. Everyone planted pitostrum hedges in their backyard after coming to our backyard because it did look good because it was green all around. But it's a great way to get to know people. Now we've just moved and I have to figure out how to get to know our new neighbours because everyone just goes into their house. We lived in our other house for 20 years. So everyone chatted as they were putting the bins out, as they were, you know, walking to the letterbox. We all chatted. We've been here for a year and I've barely got to meet them. So that's my new challenge. How am I going to meet my neighbours? But that's something we can do. Be present, get to know people, know their context, understand them. And then be encouraging. You know, Jesus knew what Zacchaeus had done. But he showed love to Zacchaeus. And you know, love replaces shame and fills people with hope. If you look at verse 8, Zacchaeus' response was, Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back 4 times the amount." You know, by law, if Zacchaeus had cheated someone, he had to pay back 20% over what he had taken or cheated. So that's what law said. He didn't settle for law. He said 50% over what I have taken or cheated. Not 50%, it was 4 times. See, I told you my maths was bad. It was 4 times. That's not over what he... So his response was extravagant. Because you know when you meet the grace of God, when you understand how undeserving you are, then the response is extravagant to that. And that's exactly what it was for Zacchaeus. Because he met grace. And in that he found hope. And his response was extravagant. You know, Jesus loved him. It wasn't based on what he was doing. He was cheating people. He was taking advantage of his position. So it wasn't based on what he was doing. You know, the name Zacchaeus actually means righteous, pure one. Zacchaeus wasn't living like that. And yet, when Jesus stops and talks to him and calls him back to who he was meant to be, the plan that God had for his life, Jesus reminds him of that, calling him to something better, and he responds. Can we do that for someone else? Can we see them not by the outward things, not by the things that they're doing, not by the wrong that they're doing? You know, it's easy to see that. But how does God see them? What was God's plan or purpose for them? Can we call that out? Can we say, actually, I believe that God wants this for you, that God sees you in this way, and encourage them towards that? You know, prophecy in the Bible, it's just a message of encouragement to build them up, to strengthen them, to call them to be who God has called them to be. We can do that. But we just first need to see them how God sees them and believe that the God who is in us will also work and change and transform them. It's those transformative conversations that we can have, not because of us, but because of what God can do in and through that. You know, I remember once going to the park with the kids and, you know, just playing in the park, and got talking to someone that I bumped into who used to go to church when we were kids. And since then, she'd been married. The marriage had broken up. She was now with the best friend of her ex-husband. And she felt incredibly hurt by the church and judged. Now, look, I can understand as a church, they would have felt betrayed by everything that had happened. So I'm not blaming the church in that. But in talking to her and, you know, praying with her, she came back. She was one of our worship leaders in the end, a few years down the track and everything. It's seeing people as God sees them, not seeing the mess, not seeing all the things that have happened or the decisions that they've made, but seeing what God has called them to. Can we do that? You know, is that something that you can do too? Oakley Church of Christ had said to us, we're an aging church. What can we do? We really want to connect with our community. We really want to do something, but what can we do? And they sat down and talked and they went, we're good at having coffees with people. And so that's what they did. They started having coffees in the shopping centre and catching up with people. They rang back and said, we've got 3 to 4 baptisms that we need to do. How can we do it as COVID? It was really just taking the opportunities that were there. I remember Carnegie Church of Christ said, we don't know what we can do as a church. And so they started talking as a group and saying, okay, what can we do? They said, we can run play groups. And so that's what they did. They started connecting with the community. They ended up connecting with a whole group of people who'd come as refugees from or immigrants from India, and were connecting with all of them during COVID. Some of them had to go back. Then they were connecting with them on Zoom. It's not about, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, it's too hard. We can't think of what we can do. It's sometimes just doing the very thing that's in front of you. And then God makes those connections and he makes a way. As a church, imagine what would happen if you had intentional conversations wherever you go that sparked an interest in Jesus, that showed a different way for those that are dissatisfied with life. It's simply being attentive, personal, approachable, present, and encouraging. I just want to pray for you. And pray for each of us that, you know, that we take those opportunities of those that we come in contact with, of those that we see each day that maybe we haven't seen the possibilities, whether it's at work, whether it's when we go to a cafe, that God would start to open our eyes, that we could be present, that we could be attentive, that we can be approachable, that we can be personal, that we can start to have those conversations. I just really felt like God wanted to say, you know, wherever you go, God is wanting to say things. He is wanting to do things. And really it's just us stopping to tune in and to pause and to notice what God is doing, to join that conversation. So when you go out this week, it's almost like turning on a spiritual antenna And just being conscious of that and saying and noticing what God is already doing. And then as you do that, I believe that God is going to open up conversations that you're going to go, wow, I didn't think, you know, I didn't even think this person was interested or open. I didn't think this person would even want to have this conversation. But I feel like God is saying, as you do that, as you're attentive, as you put up that spiritual antenna, that he is going to open up those conversations. And, you know, we can wait for people to come to us, but sometimes God just wants us just start to notice what's already going on around us. And you know, when you do that, I just believe that you are going to start to see the ones or twos, then the threes and fours. And as you see that, there's just going to be such an excitement within you as a community to say, hey, look what God's doing. Look at, you know, look at the way God's moving and touching, you know, people, and we're seeing these conversations happen. And you know, sometimes as churches, we can get caught up in I don't know, things that seem really important but to us, but we just get caught up in those and we go round in circles on those conversations. But I feel like God's going to say, that's going to change, that's going to break open, because you're going to be so excited about what God is doing and the connections that you're having and the conversations that you're having, that as you see people coming in, some of those things that seem like obstacles or seem hard are going to fall away, because there's going to be so much other stuff going on, and excitement in terms of those conversations that you're having. Not everyone will respond straight away, but there's going to be responses. You're going to see some of those connections made, and you're going to see those personal relationship with Jesus. Some will go to other churches because of where they live. That doesn't matter. The key is that you're being attentive and present in your world. So I'm just going to pray. Lord, I just pray for each one of us as we go about our everyday lives. Lord, I pray that you will open up our eyes, that we will be sensitive, that we'll be attentive to what you are doing and wanting to do, what you're wanting to say. That as we do that, as we spend time with people, as we get to know their context, Lord, that you're going to open up conversations that we're like, I can't believe I'm even having this conversation. But Lord, that as they do, Lord, I just pray that you'll give the right word to say at the right time, to know when to just sit back and to listen and when to point to you. Lord, I pray, give us the confidence to join a conversation that you're already having with someone. And Lord, I pray that, you know, one day we come back and visit and we'll see so many people who have just come to know you because we've been attentive to what you're doing and saying in your name. Amen.